going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your host, Cody Mallory, back after missing the last episode. You can find me on Twitter at RealCodyMallory. I am joined tonight by just Joe Farrow right now on Twitter. That is at the Joe Farrow. We might be joined by Anthony mid-episode. We are not really sure. But nonetheless, Joe, I am back. So are the Nets, and so are Kyrie Irving with a huge win tonight. How are you doing, man?
That was an awesome game to watch. Thank God that we got that win. We needed that one big time, and Kyrie just put the little backpack on and took us in the hand.
Bro, little backpack? He was in his bag tonight. Nothing little about that. But, yeah, let's dive right into the game against Charlotte. I mean, obviously I missed last episode, so I didn't get to talk on the Celtics game. I was working, so I didn't get to watch the game. I kind of just saw the highlights, but we're moving past it. Celtics are red hot. The Nets went in tonight tied with Charlotte in the standings. I mean, everyone knows that the Nets are a better team than Charlotte, but like Frank Isola just said on Yes Network, in the standings, they're not, so they had to prove it. And prove it, did they ever. And you couldn't even say the Nets, but just Kyrie Irving. Let's start with Kyrie. Obviously, 50 points. It's his third as a member of the Nets. He's the only Net in franchise history to have multiple 50-point performances, which is pretty insane when you think of the players the Nets have had. Obviously, Kidd, Carter, Jefferson, then you got Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, obviously Kevin Durant, James Harden. It's like you got all these players, and Kyrie is the only one. But forget the 50 points. What was crazy for everyone is the efficiency. He was 15 of 19 from the field, which is obviously absurd. 9 of 12 from three, which is obviously absurd. And I got some stats that I found on Twitter. From Mika Adams, Kyrie Irving had a true shooting percentage of 101.3%. That is the highest in a 50-point game in NBA history. And he then went to say Kyrie was so efficient, he broke analytics. Yeah, he was 101.3% on a scale that is only supposed to go up to 100%.
It's absolutely unreal. Like
another one from Stats Williams, Matt Williams, for research producer with ESPN. Kyrie Irving tonight, 50 points, 15 of 19, 9 of 12. He is the first player in NBA history to record 50 points, 9 three-pointers, and 75% shooting in a game.
The guy's just ridiculous. That was an all-time performance that we just got to watch tonight. And it was funny though, because it's like, even though like we have these two stars, when one of them goes off, the other one usually still comes to play. But it's like right. I wonder if Kevin Durant didn't come to play, but he had an off night tonight, and Kyrie literally just put it on his back and took us home. It was awesome.
Yeah, man. And a lot of you, some people could say, like, oh, it's against the Hornets. Like, they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. But, like, when you're 3-17 in your last 20 games, like you and Anthony talked about in the last episode, and you're fighting for to stay out of that 9-10 positioning where a single loss can send you home and miss the playoffs. Kevin Durant did not have a good game. Sure, he was still 6 of 13. That's almost 50%. He only had 14 points. The Nets needed Kyrie Irving to do this. It wasn't just him putting some icing on the cake. Like, they almost needed all 50 of those points. Whenever the Hornets would have gone on their little run, they caught fire in the third quarter. The Hornets put up 41 points. Kyrie Irving was the one that hit the big shot that gave the Nets the lead that would extend it back to 13 or 16, and even to 18. So Kyrie needed this masterclass, and he bounced back strong after a poor performance for his standards against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, absolutely. He had definitely had an off night last game, but he really just he I think he some might have just clicked in his head where he's like, all right now I'm only playing half the games. I can't have stinkers. Like he's like, I gotta show myself that I can still be a top 15 player in this league when I am playing. And so he went out there tonight and he
Yeah.
shut everybody up because people were having a field day that he struggled in Boston the other day. And then he came out and just dominated tonight. It was insane. And like the level of difficulty on these shots too is what we really got to talk about. Like Kyrie Irving, like he's known as a wizard with the ball in his hands. And it's because he just could create his own shot in any scenario. It's like I don't think I've ever seen Kyrie Irving get locked up like from creating his own shot. Like just like he misses his shots. But like nobody can really
Yeah.
stay in front of Kyrie. The guy could create out of literally anything. And he just that's literally what he did for all four quarters tonight.
And there was a point in that fourth quarter. Kyrie had the ball, top of the key. He dribbled it up. Kevin Durant, Patty Mills, and Seth Curry were on the floor with Andre Drummond, who Drummond was in the dunker spot. They blitzed Kyrie Irving and left Patty Mills wide open in the right corner. And he knocked down the three. But that's just like how hot Kyrie Irving was. Like, my favorite Kyrie Irving shot was that cross-court pass from Kevin Durant that hit him right in the shooter motion. He like literally, it doesn't even look like he caught the ball before he shot it, and it was just nothing but net. It was insane. It was like the quickest release I've ever seen because he literally didn't even catch the ball before he shot it.
Yeah, he like it looked like he literally even bent his knees before he caught the ball. Just so as soon as it
Right.
touched his hands, he goes up and got rid of it in less than like half a second. It was absurd.
It looked like a set in volleyball where it literally just touched his fingertips
Yeah.
and he released it. It was crazy, but fingers.
I wanna throw some credit at somebody who probably won't get talked about enough around the league, but for like us winning this game. But Andre Drummond was phenomenal. He put up 20 and 14 boards. Like, and that's just gonna fly under the radar because Kyrie over here put up 50 points on 19 shots. Like, it's just absurd. And Andre Drummond, he had a fantastic game. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 2 blocks. He had a steal on top of 20 points, 14 boards, even dished out 2 assists. Got stuff in the stat sheet all over the place. And he's been phenomenal so far. So I keep trying to like throw a point at Andre Drummond every single episode just because he's been so good.
Yeah,
And
no, yeah, Drummond.
a lot of people were saying that like, oh, he was barely even gonna play with us, but no, the Nets organization had something else in mind and he's been killing ever since he came here.
I agree. He was dominating the paint tonight. I think there was a couple game stretch recently where it's like, oh, he's not looking so good, but tonight he was making hook shots. He made a lefty hook shot over his right shoulder, and I was like, is that Andre Drummond? There's no way. And I was just like, I mean, I know I've seen the clips of, I think Christian Winfield was posting them, of Drummond working with Amari Stoudemire pregame in the post of doing that move where he's going over mainly his left shoulder with his right hand, but he went over his right shoulder with his left hand tonight. And that's, I mean, when he is dominating the boards and then he can even post up a little bit when he gets a smaller guy and do a little turn and a hook shot. Like, that's a huge bonus for the Nets that they have not had since Brook Lopez. But even Drummond is a lot more physical than Brook Lopez was for the Nets.
Yeah, he's been so good, man. I can't even, and he's just improving. Like, he's just adding more to his arsenal. And on a team like this, you can experiment with stuff like that because you have shooters all around you. So there's going to be a lot of times where Andre Drummond is in the paint one-on-one with his defender, and the closest person is 15 feet away from him outside of that. So, like, he could experiment and do whatever he wants. And when he gets those opportunities, it's going to be fun to see.
I've been saying this since the Nets got him, but he's still working himself in the game shape as well. I mean, backing up, I've said this like five times now, but backing up Embiid, he was only averaging like 17 or 18 minutes a game. And now the Nets are asking him to play mid-20s, high 20s, and even low 30s some nights. So he's just going to continually get better, in my opinion, as he keeps slimming down, getting into better game shape, allowing himself to play more minutes and be effective more minutes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
But I do want to talk about Kyrie Irving one more time on what he said after the game. I think it was Grady was interviewing him, and Grady asked him what it's going to take for the Nets to get where they want to be, because obviously the 8-9 seed is not what the Nets are hoping for. And Kyrie Irving simply responded with patience. What is your thoughts on that, Joe?
There is no more patience. We ran out. The Nets have tried to be patient for too long. There's no more patience. I need it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all that I can say. We need it now. We need it ASAP.
I get what you're saying, but it's just funny. Because obviously the Nets, I mean, at the end of the day, the Nets know how good they really can be. And they know they have the firepower to be it, but they have to do it. So, I mean, I love to hear him say patience, because that means he still believes the Nets can get there. But like you said, they're running out of time. So it better be short patience at this point.
Yeah, we're probably another month patient. No.
Right.
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Yeah. I know this has also been a common thing we've been doing, but I got to give props to Bruce Brown once again. 14 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, 8 rebounds. He's just been, I know, we've said this, it feels like literally every episode, but Bruce Brown has just been an overall good basketball player. He's looked more confident shooting tonight. He only went, he didn't make a single three. He only shot one. But there was a time where I feel literally he had two steals in a row in like a 3-second stretch, and they both resulted in Nets transition points. He's cutting, he's playing defense, so like he's been great.
I honestly think like the way he's playing right now, he is the third best player playing for the Brooklyn Nets right now. Like the way that he has played over this stretch of games, he's probably the number three option on this team. And it's crazy because that's an offense too. Like Bruce is not an offensive guy. And it's like when we traded for him, he was just like, we just realized very quickly that this guy's going to lock down the other team's best player. And he's going to nail a bunch of floaters for some reason in a pick and roll. And we were all very confused about why they kept running that until he knocked down like 9 of them in a row one game. But and then now he's adding the 3-ball to his arsenal this year. He's more aggressive on the drive, and an aggressive Bruce Brown. We haven't seen that this year until Bembry got cut and James Harden was traded. Like we haven't seen this version of Bruce Brown until this stretch. And this is what we need. So if once we get all our guys here, it's going to be a lot of fun to see how this version of Bruce Brown holds up.
For sure. I agree. Like I'm very interested to see what his role is when Ben Simmons is back, because I still think that Ben Simmons is kind of Bruce Brown on steroids. But I mean, Bruce Brown is knocking down a 3-point shot. Like that's something that I don't think we're going to get from Ben Simmons. But I mean, I still think they can coexist with each other on the floor, just because Bruce has shown that he's willing to take that shot and knock it down, plus his cutting off ball. And obviously Simmons is an elite playmaker and passer. So I don't want to say that he's going to get locked out of the rotation with Simmons, but I do think his role and minutes will come down. Nonetheless, Bruce Brown will be a big piece of the Nets going forward the rest of the season into the postseason.
And yeah, we need this version to stick around. We can't go back to early season Bruce Brown, who was getting DNPs.
Yeah. One more thing I want to talk about the game before we go into some quotes that I found interesting from the post-game press conferences. The Nets had 46 field goals made tonight, and they assisted on 33 of them. That's their second most assists they've had in the game this season. They had 35 against the Bulls when they blew the Bulls out that game with Durant, Harden, and Irving. But the ball movement was beautiful tonight. I mean, I know Kyrie Irving was the main factor in the offense, but the Nets were just exploiting mismatches and passing the ball around and finding the open shooters. They went 18 of 35 from three, and that's because a majority of them were wide open looks from good shooters. I know Kyrie hit 9 of the 18, but you still had Patty Mills make 4. I think Seth Curry hit 3. So, like, they were getting good shooters, open looks, and that's what basketball is. It's attack the defense, find the weakness, and make them adjust. And the Hornets never were able to adjust to the Nets, who put up 132 points tonight.
Yeah, insanity. I mean, you got to think, when you put into perspective Kyrie putting up 50 points on 19 shots, and then you look at the grand scheme, they scored 132 points, you're like, holy hell. it's like, and like we said before, he broke basketball analytics with his true shooting percentage, which I don't think I'm going to get over for a while, because that's still like, right. That's like hurting my brain thinking about that sentence still. but yeah, like the Hornets didn't make any adjustments all night, and they were getting what they wanted offensively too. Cause they had two players score 30 points tonight. I believe I got to go look at the box score, but I forget who it was, but it was Miles Bridges and Terry Rozier both put up 30 points, and LaMelo Ball put up 24. Yeah. So their guys were scoring, but it was just like Kyrie and the Nets got off to such a hot start, and they just didn't look back, and they didn't make any adjustments to try to fix it. So that's on them, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I mean, another Nets thing is
Plumlee, by the way, putting up a solid 2 points in 20 minutes. Just
another thing is, I mean, we've noticed all season, obviously the Nets have underachieved for multiple factors, but one of them is that can't be ignored. The Nets always seem to have one quarter where they just absolutely lay an egg and it's a stinker. They scored 30 plus in every single quarter tonight. They put up 34, 35, 31, 32. And I feel like that's the most consistent the Nets have scored the ball this season. They usually have a quarter where they'll put up like 20 or 18 or 22. And then they'll have a quarter where they put up like 45, but the Nets just consistently scored the ball all night tonight, and it was amazing to watch.
Yeah, they didn't let off the gas, which a lot of times the Nets would do. They would let the game get interesting with like 5 minutes left. It would be out of nowhere, a 7-point game. So it was glad. I was glad to see them just really keep the foot down all night and just not let up.
Yeah. It's crazy. But anything else you want to talk about the actual basketball of the game before we dive into some quotes and then discuss the game on Thursday in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah, that one. Do you think anybody knows that game's happening?
Well, let's dive into some quotes.
Yeah.
I got some good ones. From Christian Winfield, he got Steve Nash was asked if he looks forward to catching up with James Harden on Thursday. Steve Nash responded, "I don't know that we'll speak."
What?
Yeah, he's
that's
slow.
That's actually pretty funny. So here's a solid one. A friend of the podcast, Chris Mulholland, just tweeted Kyrie Irving on what he thinks the atmosphere is going to be like in Philly Thursday. Kyrie just said, "Lovely." I don't know if you heard, but when you were reading that quote, I looked at my phone and I started chuckling because that popped up.
hilarious.
Yeah, but not. So what? Steve Nash said that about him talking to James Harden, that he doesn't know if they'll speak.
Well, he was asked how if he looks forward to catching up with James Harden on Thursday. And Steve Nash said, I don't know that we will speak.
Catching up with him? He's been gone for like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
Kevin Durant gave Kyrie Irving a lot of credit following the game, gave him a round of applause, and said younger players should watch this game and learn what it takes to score at this level.
Yeah.
Durant would also want to say, I'm playing against James Harden. I don't think it'll be any different than a regular game. It is what it is. It's another game for us. We're looking to win, and they're looking to win.
Yeah. I mean, everybody wants to win, and that's a big game.
Yeah.
Momentum-wise for the rest of the season for both teams. Because the Sixers haven't lost with James Harden on the floor yet, right? Since they traded
him. Correct.
So if we go in there and we beat them, that's going to be a – there's going to be a lot of talk about that because people are saying that we stink. And trust me, we do, and we know it. But if we go in there and we beat them, even without Ben Simmons, that'll be a definitely interesting conversation point in the national media for the next couple of days.
For sure. And then Kevin Durant kind of gave a little insight on the James Harden trade. I know before he said everyone got what they wanted. But he was asked about what the Nets could have done to try to keep James Harden in Brooklyn. And he just said, you try to look at it from his perspective, Kai's not playing, I'm injured, and James hasn't won a championship before. So he kind of took a little dinger at James Harden there, saying that there wasn't much or anything the Nets could do to keep him because James is all alone. Boo hoo. That man's making like, what, $46 million or something. He had to carry a basketball team for a little bit. I don't feel bad, but I don't want to talk about James Harden.
Yeah, we'll move on from James Harden. Well, we'll leave the James Harden slander for Thursday.
For Thursday, that's fair. Kevin Durant on Ben Simmons in front of Philly fans on Thursday. He said, the guy's making $40 million a year, talking about Ben Simmons. You can take that for a couple hours. I'm sure Ben has that approach.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. And I think one more. This just shows the kind of guy that Kyrie Irving is. He said he respects James Harden's decision and wishes him nothing but peace and love. Would then go on to say, I wish things could have been communicated better as men.
So he said,
I mean,
that James Harden's a little girl, huh?
That's another kind of shot at at James Harden, but.
Oh, man.
The game Thursday, besides drama, the Philly fans booing and tormenting and trying to go after Ben Simmons, which who cares personally? I don't really think Ben Simmons is going to care sitting on a bench, but whatever, ignore that narrative. What do you expect from a basketball perspective in that game? Like, what do you want to see the Nets do? Any particular game plans you want to see? Or, like, how do you want to defend Harden and Embiid, who have been really tough? And then you got Tyrese Maxey. Like, what do you hope to see from the Nets?
I mean, I would want Bruce Brown on James Harden on the defensive end all night, and I would want to show doubles on Joel Embiid for the majority of the night. I would keep Bruce Brown on an island with James Harden for as long as we can and try to throw doubles with, like, KD and Claxton or KD and LaMarcus at Embiid. I forgot we had Drummond for a second, and Drummond can just try to handle Embiid for stretches. But for the most time, when KD's in the game with anybody other than Drummond, I'd like KD to help on Embiid. Tobias Harris, he can fuck off. But I was trying to figure out what to say. But, I mean, he's been up and down. So it's like I honestly think that game comes down to which Tobias Harris that we get. Because, like, he's had some really bad games. And, like, even very recently, like, there was one game, like, last week where he put up 30, and then there was another game where, like, he put up, like, 15 on, like, very, like, inefficient shooting. But it depends. That's what I think it really comes down to, though. I think it just comes down to which version of Tobias Harris that the Nets are going to see. And knowing that it's the Nets, I feel like we're going to get the best version of Tobias Harris we have ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you, but I'm going to take it to another extreme. Besides, someone just DM'd me and said, wow, wonder what it could be about.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just about Kyrie. But anyways, I mean, bro, like, obviously I know Kyrie Irving just dropped 50. Come on now. But anyways, I want to see them take it to the next extreme, and I think Bruce Brown on James Harden is the way to go. But I'm even going under the screens on the beat screens of Harden. And I'm double teaming Joel Embiid. I'm just making someone else on that team beat us, even if it is James Harden. Because, I mean, we watched him all year. Sure, maybe he wasn't bought in, etc. But I don't really think he was missing jump shots on purpose. Maybe he wasn't trying as hard, getting back on defense, etc. But I don't know, man. Like, even last game, he shot 5 of 15. I think he had, like, 14 assists or something crazy. Like, let Tyrese Maxey beat you. Let Matisse Thybulle knock down a jump shot if he can. Let Tobias Harris, like you said, see what version you get. But don't let Joel Embiid go for 45, because if he does that, you're going to have a very hard time of beating them.
Yeah, absolutely. Even like if you get 45 from Embiid and then Harden gives you 8 assists and like 25 points, you're done for.
Correct. Like,
especially with us when we don't have Ben Simmons. I'm intrigued if we get a matchup with Philly in the playoffs if we have Ben Simmons. That would be huge, I think. It just makes everything so much easier, especially on the defensive end, and then we just let our offense take over in transition. Yeah, that's really when that would count when we have Ben Simmons.
Yeah, and then for the Nets on offense, I'm attacking James Harden. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get James Harden switched onto either Kyrie or Durant, and then I'm pulling up Embiid and attacking that duo in a pick and roll, because they play drop coverage, Embiid, majority of the time. I mean, we saw it against the Knicks when R.J. Barrett went off, and obviously R.J. Barrett is not Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant. And I'm just attacking those two on defense when the Nets have the ball all the time. Like, can you imagine James Harden being the primary defender on either Durant or Irving and coming off a screen and you got Embiid and drop coverage? Like, the Nets should win that matchup 9 out of 10 times, yeah, and get a very good look. Plus, make Embiid and Harden put some effort into defense. Like, I don't know, man. Like, that's what I'm doing. I'm just attacking those two all game, making them get uncomfortable, making them have to try to adjust. And like I said tonight, the Nets attack mismatches against Charlotte, and I think that's a mismatch the Nets can attack against Philly and make Philly figure something else out.
Yeah, absolutely agree. With that drop, you could get open mid-range all night.
Yeah, I agree. And then if Aldridge is back, bring Aldridge up. Make them play the little pick and pop with Aldridge popping in the mid. Like, the Nets have so many options. Then you can put Claxton in, make Embiid adjust to that. And then if they start switching it, then you got Embiid on an island with either Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant. Like, no matter what the Nets do, I think they can attack that. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs to a certain extent, like 2019, when they struggled to defend pick and roll, and like D'Lo, LeVert, and Dinwiddie really attacked it. I mean, obviously they're not Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant, but even back then, Philly struggled to defend it. And that was a team that had Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler on it. So, like, they don't have those defenders anymore.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a much different look of a Philly team, and it's a different look of a Nets team. And that's why this first matchup should definitely tell us a lot. And then knowing that we're waiting for Ben Simmons to come back, that'll also tell us a lot, just based on how he looked in this game and what other dimensions he could add to the fold once he's here.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously still believe that Ben Simmons will be back before the end of the regular season, and that he still will be a huge, huge addition for the Nets. Because forget everything else, he is an elite defender, which the Nets clearly lacked against Boston. And he can just do everything on a basketball court besides shoot the ball. But the Nets have so much shooting that will be around him that I don't think it's going to impact them at all.
Yeah, I agree for sure.
But all right, so we kind of analyzed the Sixers game. Anthony's not here, so we're going to have to get his pick. But you're in first still, Joe. So who you got winning Thursday? Nets, Sixers. Most anticipated game of the NBA season, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a Nets win.
I'm also going with a Nets win just because I will not pick Philly. Sorry.
I was doing the same thing.
No matter what. I mean, I think regardless, it's going to be a great matchup. Obviously, I believe that they're two powerhouses in the East. Even the Nets without Ben Simmons, as long as they have – Kyrie, Durant, and then Curry and all those other elite role players around those two stars, I think we're destined for a good game. I'm really interested to see how Andre Drummond holds up against Embiid. Obviously, there's no one in the league that can guard Embiid one-on-one. But Drummond, I mean, he looked really good in that Milwaukee matchup against Giannis. He blocked a couple shots from Giannis, so I'm really interested to see his impact against Embiid. Obviously, Drummond did not look good against Bam, but it's kind of another opportunity to make his mark against Joel Embiid on Thursday.
Yep, couldn't agree more.
All right, man, anything else you want to talk about before we end?
I just want to tell Damian Lillard to learn from Russell Wilson and tell him to get the hell up out of his team.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that Wilson trade is crazy, bro. They gave up so much for him
today. Starts off 11:30 a.m. Pat McAfee tweets that Aaron Rodgers is going back to the Packers, and then literally an hour and a half later, Russell Wilson is traded to the Denver Broncos for 2 firsts, 2 seconds, a fifth, and a D tackle and Drew Locke. That was
huge. And Noah Font, I believe.
Yeah, Noah Font. Yeah, he was there too. I was trying to think of who the last person was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a haul for Denver, for Seattle.
100%.
But the thing is, Seattle doesn't draft well. They've drafted like 3 Pro Bowlers in the last like 15 years, and one of them was a punter. So it's like,
yeah,
get a new regime over there before you make them picks.
Right. But, I do just want one more quick thing about basketball. I wasn't on last episode, but I do want to send my wishes to Jarrett Allen, who got hurt. I think he fractured or sprained or broke his middle finger or something.
I think it was the index finger.
Index finger.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have tickets to the Cavs game, and we really wanted to see Jarrett Allen and Caris LeVert as much as we want to see the Nets players. So I hope they get better soon.
I was like, I want to walk them through this. I'm like, we bought those tickets because we thought, okay, even if Kyrie or Ben can't be there, at least we'll see KD and LeVert and Jarrett. But no, now Jarrett's going to be out probably. So lovely.
Yeah. And I mean, he's obviously having like a coming out season. I mean, he's been good for a while. He was an all-star this year. Cavs have overachieved. So I just hope he gets better soon, and maybe, just maybe, he can play in April, Joe. It would be nice, right?
Well, hopefully, a month to the day. It's March 8th right now. We're going April 8th.
Yes, sir. So just wanted to sneak that in there at the end. Anything else, Joe?
Nope. Dame, get the hell up out of Portland. Follow Russell Wilson.
With that being said, thank you for once again tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This was your host, Cody Mallory, joined by Joe Farrow tonight. The Nets got a much-needed win in Charlotte behind Kyrie Irving's 50 points on insane efficiency, like not even real, like 101-point-something%.
He broke basketball.
Kyrie Irving broke everything. And let's go into Philly and really show the rest of the league just who the Brooklyn Nets are.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.